Thank you very much. It's good to be with you again this morning and renew fellowship with folks that we've known in yesteryear. When I get a phone call this morning from Mrs. Rubson about the passing of Sam Bernardo yesterday in Toronto, Canada, there flashed into my mind a text of scripture that's found in the Gospel of John. I don't quite know why I had thought of speaking on something else, but it seemed, whether it was my imagination or not, I don't know, but the Lord seemed to say, there's your text for this morning. It's in John chapter 12. I'll say more about that in a moment. John chapter 12. 12th of John. And verse 10. This is the verse that flashed into my mind as we were eating at the breakfast table this morning. 10th verse of John chapter 12. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Those words, by reason of him. And you say, I don't know what you're talking about. By reason of whom? Lazarus. Well, what is so remarkable about that? I'll tell you what's so remarkable about it is that there is not on record one word that Lazarus ever spoke. And yet, despite the fact that there are no recorded words, many went away and believed in Jesus. Must have been from what happened to Lazarus. I thought of my dear friend Sam Bernardo. He was a quiet brother. And he was a cheerful brother, a bright brother. No preacher. I never heard Sam preach. But he had a very potent, quiet testimony. And he spoke to many folks about Christ privately. And his life was a wonderful testimony. I was born in the city of Guelph, Ontario, about 30 miles from where Mr. Bernardo lived. He lived in Brantford, Ontario. I was converted in 1921. That's a long time ago. That's over 70 years ago when the Lord changed my whole life. And I remember in that visitation of God's Spirit that came down upon our little assembly up there, and a number of us were converted, about 9 of us, about the same time that fall. I began to give my testimony to my high school classmates and so on, give out tracts and so on. And then a few of us who had been converted, we closed ranks, as it were, and especially 3 young men, of which I was one, and we became acquainted with other Christians in the surrounding areas, and we identified with them and began to give our testimony. And one place was Brantford, Ontario, 30 miles from where we lived. And so when I began to try to preach a little bit, that was a door that was open to me. And I used to often, well, not often, but frequently go to Brantford and to the old Bethel Hall there. Wasn't much of a hall, but anyway, there were some precious people there. I think of Dr. Beer, not Les Beer, his father, who is also a doctor, but also Mr. Charles Innes and others who preached the word and so on. I became acquainted with those folks, and it was there that I met Sam Bernardo, and we were very close friends ever since. A man who was very quiet and never on the platform, so far as I know, but he lived a quiet and potent Christian life. And I thought of Lazarus. Now you say, what is the connection? Well, Lazarus is a man of whom there is no record whatsoever that he ever spoke a word. Now, I'm dead sure that he was not dumb. I'm sure that Lazarus often spoke. He had 2 sisters, as you know. Mary and Martha, and they lived in Bethany. Now, Bethany was a little village that still lies on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, and it's a little Arab conclave today, not Jewish, although it's in Israel, and it's still there. And that's where Lazarus lived. And the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired this book that we have in our hands this morning, has recorded in John's Gospel eight miracles in all. There are eight recorded miracles. Now, our Lord performed about 35 miracles that are referred to in the New Testament. But of all that grouping of miracles, John, by the Holy Spirit, picks out only eight of them. And one of them, and the consummating one, is the story of Lazarus. I'm going to read you the story again, with your permission, from John chapter 11. John 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and so on. Verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Why didn't they just reinforce that a little bit more and say, Lord, we think it would be a good idea if you got here on the run. You come quickly. He's very, very low, and he needs you. What happened? Nothing. The Lord didn't come. When Jesus, verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he stayed 5 days still in the same place where he was. How would you have reacted to that? You'd have said, he doesn't really care. He got the SOS from the household. The sisters said to him, hurry up, Lord. Hurry, come quickly. We need you, Lord. The Lord didn't know anything about it. And he stayed 5 whole days where he was. And during those 5 days, guess what happened? You've guessed it. Lazarus died. Had I been there, I'd have said, I can't put that together. The Lord knew that he was ill. Why didn't he come here? Why didn't he come and prevent this catastrophe, this heartbreaking death of our dear brother, our only brother? The Lord stayed where he was, didn't move. And then when he heard, verse 4, when he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And he abode 2 days still, verse 6, same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Beautiful, isn't it? He didn't say, you know that fellow Lazarus up there in Bethany, he's dead. He's gone. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Our friend Sam sleepeth. The body sleeps. But the spirit has gone home to the one who gave it, the living Lord. And Sam is alive and well in the glorious presence of his Savior this morning by infinite grace. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, the Lord said. Now where was I? Verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. They thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. That must have been a shocker. I'm glad I wasn't there. You were glad you let him die, Lord? Yes, I'm glad I wasn't there. The Lord was looking beyond that tragedy to triumph, wasn't he? Now look at verse 15 again. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother will rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall arise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with him in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. One of the three occasions when our Lord wept. He wept over Jerusalem, and he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's the Lord crying. What's he crying about? He knows what's going to happen in the next few minutes. But he mingled his tears with theirs. Even though, my friends, he was in possession of the power that transcended all invasions. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went to their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now verse 53, the Pharisees get together. The religious establishment have an emergency meeting of the Security Council. That's what they did. And they said, how are we going to handle this thing? This Jesus is going to become so popular that he'll sweep the nation. And then what will become of us? We'll lose our jobs. We'll be discredited. Verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. The Gospel of John is the story of 8 miracles. I've said that. Begins with a wedding. It ends with a funeral. The first miracle is, as you know, the changing of water into wine. The miracle that took place at Cana of Galilee. This was the beginning of miracles. It began at a wedding. John's Gospel. He ends at a funeral. And he can take care, my friends, of everything in the interim between the wedding and the funeral. It's good to have him at your wedding. Forget about all the flowers and the fuss and the celebration. Make sure that Jesus is there when you send out invitations. I tell folks that when I marry them. Make sure that the Lord is there. He can change the water into wine. But also, my friends, at a funeral. And the Lord ends up in the 11th chapter of John by mingling his tears with the salty and hot tears of the two sisters, but also, my friends, rising above all the devastation and the wreck and the impotence that sin and death had caused, he rose up in triumph and in power, and he spoke the words and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die, never see the lake of fire, never see eternal death, but shall have the light of life. I am the resurrection of the life and the life. And then, my friends, he performed this great miracle, raising not only a dead man, but a corrupting man as well, overcoming all of the triumph of death and the decay and all that goes with it as the mighty, mighty Lord of life who gives life to the dead. As the result of the raising of Lazarus, many went away and believed in Jesus. Lazarus was dead. So were you. So was I. Spiritually dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We know that we pass out of death into life, says John. We know that he has said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed out of death into life. We began as dead Godward. Scripture talks about the comedian and the clown. And the entertainer, and the empty ballyhoo of worldly popularity, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. 1 Timothy 5. She that liveth in pleasure for self, self-aggrandizement, self-glory, she's dead while she lives. Oh, not dead physically, but dead spiritually. My friends, that's true not only of the circus and the bazaar and the party, but it's also true of many, many churches. Dead congregations being preached to by a dead preacher who's never been born of God at all. Going through the mouthings of religion. But my friends are the ghostly sounds of a dead person. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can impart and communicate eternal life. You say, I don't understand that, nor do I. I don't understand, my friends, the inscrutable mystery of the new birth. When the Spirit of God touches a person who reaches out by faith for help outside of himself and lays hold on the mighty Christ who died and rose again, something happens. I don't understand the miracle of the new birth. I don't understand the miracle of physical birth, do you? Is there anyone here that can understand the mystery and the intricacy of chemicals and so on when that sperm hits that egg and there's life? I don't understand that. A new personality? Life? I don't understand that. Only God, my friends, the source of life, the living God, the living Christ, can communicate new life to the dead. And what a transformation. What a transformation through the living and abiding Word of God, says Peter. I had a letter the other day. In fact, I had a letter the other day from a young fellow in Canada. I haven't seen him for many, many, many years. Many years. Never know him. I wouldn't know him if I saw him now. But he wrote me a long letter. And he said, you were at our farmhouse back in the early 30s. And you were back in the woods having meetings in a schoolhouse. You were staying in our home. And he said, the morning you were leaving, I was standing by the pump. I was a 10-year-old boy standing by the pump. You said to me, have you been born again? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? And he said, I did not. And he said, you said, you go in the house and read Romans 10 and 9 and get down on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you as my Savior. He said, Mr. Tatham, I did that. That fellow's been active in the Lord's work for many, many years, since the early 30s. Going on, I lost all track of it. I don't remember a thing about it. He said, that word. He said, he closed the long letter and he said, thank you for speaking to a 10-year-old boy about the Lord Jesus and about salvation. I had a call yesterday too, a phone call from someone down in the Keys, a lady down in Pine, what do you call it, Great Pine Key or something down there. I haven't seen him for 30 years. And she told me her story. She said, when I moved to North Palm Beach, you were preaching up there, and she said, I didn't know, and she said, you led my husband to the Lord. He's worked at Pratt Whitney, and now we're living down in Pine Cone, Pine Tree Key, is it, or something down there, 30 miles from the Key West? I don't know anything about it. I don't remember a thing about it, my friends. My wife remembers it. I don't remember. But the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. The Word. The seed. Seed. The seed is the Word of God. Any idiot can plant a seed, my friends. You don't have to be a PhD to plant the seed. Give a little testimony for Jesus Christ. When people come into your home, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the friends at the store, the cash register, get a little opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. Give your testimony. Say, you know, I had a wonderful experience years ago. Yes? Something that changed my whole life. I met Jesus Christ. He became my Savior. He became real. Sometimes you'll find that you're talking to a fellow Christian, brother or a sister, or perhaps someone that's groping. My friends, a seed shall serve it, shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. The Lord here stood at the grave of a man who was not just spiritually dead, but he was physically dead, and he was beyond death. The long fingers of corruption had begun to do their work. And the sisters said, Lord, don't embarrass us by asking us to move the stone away. Move away the stone, the Lord said. And they did what they were told. And then the Lord lifted up his voice and spoke. He said, Lazarus, come forth! And he said it in a loud voice, a voice of command, Lazarus, come forth! And suddenly something happened. Someone has said that if he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, the whole cemetery would have come forth. Lazarus, come forth! That's the kind of Christianity I believe in, my friends. Christianity that packs a dynamic, a message, a life-changing message. Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And the Lord said to them, loose him and let him go. What's so great about that? Well, my friends, it is the consummating miracle in John's gospel. And not only that, but it shows that the Lord can restore and heal and give life. And Lazarus became a monumental testimony to the whole community. What happened? Many came together. Many came together. Verse 45 of chapter 11. Are you looking at it? Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they what? They believed on him. This man who had received new life became the witness of the miracle and the change in his life from death to life. Convinced many when they said, listen, this settles it for me. I've been wondering about this man, Jesus. I've been wondering, there's a lot of conversation about him. There's a lot of discussion on the loose as to his identity, whether he is a phony prophet or whether he is what he claims to be, the Son of the living God. But when they saw Lazarus, they said, hey, this man must be the Son of God. And so much did this miracle trigger so much discussion that it alarmed the Jewish unbelievers. And they said, we've got to do something about this. We've got to put this man out of business. And from then on, there was a closing of the ranks, and the opposition, fueled by the devil, consummated their hatred by taking him, turning him over to the Gentiles, howling for his death, and bringing about his execution, his death. But you know, the remarkable thing about it is what we read in chapter 12 and verse 9. Many people of the Jews knew that he was there, knew that Lazarus was there. And they knew that the Lord was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also. He was public exhibit number one. He was the evidence of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was dead. He was rotten. Now look at him. He's alive. By reason of him, many of the Jews went away. And they said, this settles it for me. He is the Messiah. Not a word spoken. Not a word spoken. Not a word. I mean, oh, wait a minute now. I'm not saying that Lazarus came out of the grave as a dummy and he couldn't speak. I'm not saying that. He did speak, I'm sure of that. But there's no recorded word of Lazarus. It was the fact that there was new life there. There was a new life entirely there. And Lazarus became the a silent evangelist, as it were. Not only was he given new life, but he was given new liberty as well. He said, the Lord had said, take away those gray clothes, take away... Loose him and let him go. Cut him from the trappings of the cerements of death. They don't belong to a living man. Loose him and let him go. Now the Lord could have done that himself. The Lord could have snapped his fingers and the garments of death would have fallen from Lazarus and he'd have been on his way. But the Lord said to the disciples, you loose him. Loose him and let him go. So he received not only life, but he received new liberty and power to walk. New liberty and power. And that's what Christianity is all about. Not only new life, which we receive when we come as lost sinners and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, but my friends, to be his witnesses, to be his witnesses. That's what San Bernardo was, and many, many others like him. Not great Billy Graham preachers at all. Perhaps never a preacher. But my friends, a quiet testimony. Mr. Bernardo is like that. He was a lover of the Word of God. A lover of the Lord's people. He supported widely an evangelical outreach. Broad sympathies and charities and so on. And I make bold to believe that there'll be many in glory that will point to Sam and say, thank you. I read and I saw Jesus in your life. In your life. and my friends, that's what I would like people to say about me. He wasn't much of a speaker or anything like that, but his life reflected reality that was there. Not just religious humbug and pretense and show, but there was reality there. I tell you, my friends, that's what counts. That's what makes the impact. And you know, that he was loosed and liberated. And that's what the Lord does when he gives us his Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit of God is the experienced life of Jesus Christ in the believer. The Lord Jesus said in the upper room the night before he died to those distressed disciples. They were shaking their heads as they looked into the future and said, Lord, if you're going to die tomorrow and you're going to leave us, that's the end of everything. We're finished. We can't get along without you. This thing about Christianity that you're talking about and we're to go out to a lost world and witness to a hostile world, we can't handle that, Lord. The Lord said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. The Lord made three promises in the New Testament. Three promises. He said, I will build my church. He said, I will send my Spirit. He said, I will come again. And you, my friends, tie those three great promises of Jesus Christ together, and you've got Christianity in a nutshell. The Lord said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And that's what he's been doing for the past 2,000 years. He's been taking out of the Jews and out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And he's been putting them into a new society, which is called his body and his building and his bride. An outcalling, an ecclesia, a called out company, an assembly. That word assembly, my friend, should never be limited to a little group of people that meet in a certain way and perform in certain ways. That's the assembly. The assembly, my friends, is the church. The outcalling in any community who have the same life that's in the head. The same life that's in the head is in the body and animated by the Spirit. You see, my friends, the body has many parts. Hands, feet, legs, ears, eyes, nose, and all the rest of it. And each of those members has its own particular function, but it's the Spirit within that controls everything, and empowers everything and makes us distinctive and living, vibrant men and women. The Lord says, I'm going away. I will build my church. I will send my Spirit. I will come again. And that, my friends, I believe is the essence of New Testament Christianity. Lazarus didn't go out preaching, he didn't go to seminary, but his life. A little later, a little after he was raised from the dead, a week or so later, they had a supper. They had a party. Mary and Martha were there in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. Look at it before we close. 6 days before the Passover, John 12, they came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper. No, there they made him a supper. Ah, I see. They didn't just have a party. They had a party for the Lord. They made him a supper. And it says, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So, my friends, Lazarus must have been a phenomenon. The celebration. The news traveled all over the place. He might have, my friends, cashed in on that. He might have written a book. He might have made a video. No, not a video. Wait a minute. No. He might have celebrated. He could have become a very great celebrity. But, my friend, he didn't. He sat down at the table with the Lord and with Mary and Martha. And he took part in that little celebration which elevated not Lazarus or his sisters, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is Christianity. The text, by reason of him, many went away and believed in Jesus. Can you remember that text? That's the text that came to me this morning at 8 o'clock. Many went away and believed in Jesus. And they went, by reason of him, by reason of him, by reason of him, many went away and said, Christianity is real. I've seen it in flesh and blood. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing the 23rd Psalm.
Presence of my enemies, we welcome thee.